it's time to talk some local sports. And joining us now from the Navarre Press, he covers UWF athletics and local high school athletics, and that is Brian Lester. You can follow him at BLester1993 on Twitter as well. Brian, I hope you're having a nice day.
Hey, Chad. Not going too bad, just staying busy.
You're always staying busy. You're always doing something. So where does life take you tonight? I'm sure around Navarre High School, but what event's going on tonight?
So the girls' weightlifting team at Navarre is hosting their invitational, and normally they do it during the day, but this year, to get some more schools involved, they decide to do it at night this time.
Well, that's awesome. And talking about, I saw a post earlier. We talked about it a little going through, but you talked about receiving an offer with Devin Wright, receiving an offer from UWF. Now, I know he had a great career when he was there at Navarre, and you know, a guy that has D1 talent. But talk about the possibility of him going to UWF, and if they do, how big of a steal would that be?
Man, you know, Devin Wright has been a varsity guy since his freshman year, and he's only gotten better every year, always one of the leaders on the team, one of the top tacklers, and, you know, he's definitely got D1 talent. I'm a little surprised he hasn't gotten more offers because of how good he is, but for UWF to, you know, to offer him, it's huge because, you know, it would definitely be a steal in my mind, just because I think Devin's kind of being overlooked on the recruiting trail. And, but, you know, going to UWF, it wouldn't be such a bad place. I mean, obviously, D2 national title 2 years ago, you know, that program is right up there with the best. And, you know, a couple of years ago, another Navarre guy, Quentin Randolph, he walked on to UWF and his career turned out pretty well in the end. So, I think Devin, if he went to the Argos, he would be a big help on defense because I think he can definitely play at the D2 level, but, he's obviously capable of playing D1 as well.
Brian, there was talks earlier before we jumped on air. We were listening in. Peter Burns was on the Paul Feinbaum show, and then they came up with the update about the possibility of the early signing period going away. And would this be something, do you think it would be a good or bad thing for college football if that happened?
I mean, I think it could be a good thing. I think in some ways it might take some of the pressure off the guys to, you know, have a little more time to, you know, figure out a school, and maybe it would take away some of the chaos that's going on right now in college football with the coaches and how things are going with that early signing period. So in some ways, I think it would be a good thing, you know, because it worked before that early signing period came into play. And I think the big thing to me would be, though, the pressure that it might take off the players of not having to feel so rushed, I guess, to try to hopefully land somewhere with a college.
Yeah, I think the fair part to your point about if it gets taken away is not fully, but in a way you're penalizing teams that are better, meaning that if you're good, you're getting ready for the game. Now, these guys are still recruiting, but Nick Saban's squad right now, or Kirby Smart, they're at practice. They're going over plays. When the morning after Florida State found out they're not going bowling at 5-7, they got pictures all over at 6 a.m. that they're out on the road. Other teams can't do that because they have to get ready for conference title games or championships. And they're getting penalized because those guys can get to that player early if he's leaning and say, hey, you know what, you need to come here, when those other teams. And if they wanted to go somewhere, they're willing to wait. So when I say that, most of these kids can make their own decisions. But it is a little bit of a benefit to, I guess, be a team that doesn't have a good record when it comes to the early signing period. That would be something where I could see it going away.
Definitely. I mean, like you said, you know, the teams that are playing in, you know, the bigger bowl games like Alabama and Georgia and Michigan, I mean, they're not just focused on recruiting right now, but obviously those schools always end up getting their kids. But, you know, I think, you know, if it stays around, it stays around, and I think it'll, you know, college football will be fine. But I think taking it away and just going back to, you know, what it used to be isn't such a bad thing either for college athletics.
Yeah, it hasn't hurt them that bad. Alabama's still doing okay in that department.
Yeah.
They're still doing all right at the end of the day.
This is Jeffrey D. You know, kind of one comment relative to the early signing period. It really compromises the ability of these teams that are in coaching transitions to recruit, because 85% of the players are going to be signed in the early signing period. It also forces teams to, you know, make decisions during the season rather than right after the season. And, you know, a Brian Kelly, who, you know, came within a hair of being in the college football Final Four has got to make a decision on, you know, whether he's going to go to LSU or not, so that he can preserve LSU's recruiting class. I think they should get rid of the early signing period and revert back to the February signing period.
Yeah, that would be a great, you know, you make a great point. I mean, obviously with the coaches transitioning, trying to preserve those recruiting classes, you know, a lot of times you see commits. I mean, you've already seen commits at this point, you know, decommit from a school because, you know, Cristobal went to Miami or, you know, whatever, what have you. And, yeah, I definitely think going back to that later signing period, you know, what it used to be, it would certainly take some of that pressure off too of, you know, you don't have to worry about as much the transition affecting your recruiting because you still got time to get those guys signed.
Yeah, Brian, one of the things that we got upcoming in the area is the, you know, the Subway High School All-Star Series. And I saw that you had posted an article. I mean, there's some good representation from the Navarre players in, you know, an All-Star game like this. That could really be a big deal, not only for, you know, just experience, but also something that could maybe elevate them to the next level as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That All-Star game is always great. I mean, you get the best talent, you know, some of the best talent from, you know, Escambia and Santa Rosa and Okaloosa counties, and they all come together on that one field, you know, every December. And like you said, it gives a chance for some of those guys to maybe they get that one more game and they get to maybe show a little bit more what they can do. And sometimes it definitely can elevate to the next level. I know Navarre's experience, they've had two guys win MVP. Grady Kelly won it last year. He's at Colorado State now. Tommy Leggett won it back in 2015. And, you know, he went on to play Texas Tech. So definitely one more chance for those guys to play and kind of showcase what they can do and also have a little fun because it's always a fun game. You know, those guys play against each other most of the year. And, you know, now we get a chance to, you know, be on the same team for one night.
Now, Brian, I was checking your Twitter account to see any stories because obviously those would be the stories you would relate to more. I usually like to see what you're working on so I could talk about it. And I just saw the picture. Now, this is not just any like weightlifting event. This looks like how many people are inside this gym? It's a lot of ladies, right? It's a lot of girls.
Yeah, there's 10. There's 10 teams, I believe, was supposed to be coming. And so, you know, each weight class usually has 2 to 3 girls, you know, for this time of the year at least. So, you know, a pretty good number of girls coming out for this. And, you know, Navarre being the reigning state champion in 3A, you know, they like this is one. This is really their first, like, really good test in the year because most of the time it's dual meets. So this gives them a chance to kind of, you know, see what they have in the district and then kind of get ready for those big meet field when they get into the districts and regionals and, you know, on to state.
Just looking at this picture is lowering my self-esteem because I have not – just looking at the weights, I ate a full frozen pizza last night, and I've gone the reverse path here, and as all these people work out hard and do good things for society. But looking right now at one more question here when it comes to high school football, Pine Forest, they get the win. They've got a chance to win the states this year. What are your – expectations, because you're always honest with your assessment, you know, you cover high school football all throughout the season. How does it look compared to their competition? Because we know the teams around here, but when you start to play those teams, a Tampa Jesuit or a Miami Norland, all these different teams, it gets tough.
Yeah, definitely. When you get down to that part of the state, there's some great athletes in that part of the state. I mean, I've seen it when, you know, Navarre's gone to the playoffs. And, but, I mean, Pine Forest, you know, they went and won a big game, you know, last week. You know, they had to, I think they, what they feel, the deal with an interception. So they definitely have the capability of going down to state and winning it. But it's, I think that, you know, once you get down there, those schools just are loaded with typically D1 talent. It's going to take Pine Forest's best effort, but you know, you get that far, you at least give yourself a chance to try to pull off the win and, you know, bring home the trophy. But it's definitely not going to be an easy one.
How I remember last time we all gathered because we were doing the show and we watched Escambia play against Daytona. It was on a live stream, and Jeff and I were watching it live in studio. But have they linked it to where's the easiest access to watch that Pine Forest game?
I haven't seen where they're going to do it yet, but I would think the high school network. I believe the FHSAA has their own network on their website. They will put up the link to and how you can watch it. You know, I think it costs like $5-$10, whatever it is to watch it. But I'd be surprised if that's not on, you know, live streamed from some website.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll have it out there. And Brian, don't lie to us. The FHSA would never try to make a dollar on those kids. Come on now.
Oh, no, of course not. It's all for the good of the kids. But we both know that the High School Association it thinks about the money just like every other athletic
it's a business.
Association That's out there.
Right. Yeah, you know what? It's life. I mean, we got to understand by now. I asked for a toy at the drive-thru. It was an Eternals toy, and my daughter didn't even know the movie, but I went through a Mickey D's drive-thru, and I was like, can I get a toy? I got a 20-piece nugget because she likes to eat more than a 4-piece Happy Meal, but I was like, can I at least get the Happy Meal toy? I've just bought 5 times as many nuggets, and they were like, it's a dollar for the toy. And I was like, she's getting the toy she asked for it, so here's your dollar, and hand me the toy now. But it's just, you know, give the toy. I mean, I'm just gave you $7 more in the Happy Meal, but that's beyond the point here, Brian. I always appreciate your time. And looking forward to doing this every Wednesday. Enjoy the weightlifting tournament. This looks really cool and exciting. And good luck to all the girls competing tonight.
Hey, yeah, thanks, Chad. And always good talking to you. And enjoy the rest of your week.